So if we start off in Deuteronomy 31:6, and I don't know if anybody's going to post these on Zoom or not. If you would like a copy of this, send me your email. Put it in the chat here, and I'm happy to send it to you. But in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." So let's think about what that really means. And I want to completely tear this apart, rightly divide, if you will, one word at a time, so that we fully get the breadth of what this is. And I'm going to take a look at some other translations as well, and then look at who else was told to fear not as part of this day. Let's open in a word of prayer. Today is the 13th of July.
Recording in progress.
Speaker's Forrest Cottrell. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your guidance as we follow through a path in your word that you have laid for us, that we might know more and know you, therefore, and know what it is your will for our lives. What is it that we should fear? How should we fear you? And should we fear anything else, knowing that, as this verse we just read, says that you go with us. You'll never fail us. You'll never forsake us. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I know that a lot of us, especially these days, have certain adversities in our life, whether that be health or whether that be just challenges. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's relationships. And therefore, we really live in a level of fear, if you will, of anxiety about, well, what's the future going to be? And so the study is hopefully to help us better understand this verse that says that the Lord is with us, that we're supposed to be of good courage. We learned that fearing God is a reverence. It's not just his wrath. It's a reverence. And so as we think about revering him, respecting him, respecting what he's written to us, such that we would not have fear. So as we look at the breadth of the verses that are in Deuteronomy 31:6, I'm going to read 6 through 8. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And this is Moses talking to Joshua. Says Moses called, I'm sorry, this was God talking to Moses. Moses then repeats this to Joshua. Verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." So I want to take a look at each of these words, key words that are in this phrase. And if you're posting, Chico and Tony or Chip, I'm going to skip over some of the content that I gave you because there's no way I'll get it all in if I didn't. But I want to take this word by word here and break it down. So the word "be strong" in the Hebrew has to do with being strong, as it said, to be courageous, to conquer, to be of good courage, to encourage, to strengthen, be stout, to believe and behave yourself valiantly. And so as we think about that, being valiant, being of good courage, you know, we face different things, and immediately we go into fight or flight. Both of those have to do with, you know, fearing the consequences of what we're being approached with. And the Lord's saying, you know, be stout, be strong. And the word strong here is also used and translated by courage into courage. And so there's a separate word for courage, though, because it says be strong and of good courage. And so the word courage here has to do with being courageous, of course, being steadfastly minded, to be strong, to fortify, to harden, to make strong, and in some cases to be obstinate, meaning not to give way, to stand firm. And the word fear, as we look at it, has to do with being afraid, having to do with reverence. It's the word that we looked at 2 months ago in the study that I did of fearing God. And it, not only does it have to do with being afraid, reverence, but it also means that you are afraid of what might happen, some type of terrible act. And so we know that God showed Israel what would happen to them. He gave them, if you follow my word, if you follow the law, good things will happen. But if you don't, if you go to idolatry, my wrath will be upon you, and these curses, there were plagues, there was famines, there was all kinds of wars and such that came upon them. And so we saw both sides of that word. To be afraid, as we look at this verse again, fear not, nor be afraid of them. The word here has to do with fear, has to do with being dreadful, to be in awe, and to make afraid, to terrify. The word terrify has to do with trembling, having to do with dreading, having to do with the awe of the situation, anticipation that it will be awful as opposed to awe as in great wonder. And it talks about be terrified of them. Be not terrified of them. Who's the them? Well, it's those that are in the same presence before their face. So when we are faced with an individual, faced with some type of adversity, we are in the presence of that. We are not to be terrified. we know that, or as it says your God will go with you. This is God, the true God. It is the Hebrew word that's 430, and it is translated God in all cases. When it says that he goes with us, it is to walk with us, to lead us, to carry us in some cases, but to literally be next to us and near us. And so as we go through these adversities, we have God standing there with us, shoulder to shoulder, as we face this. And therefore, why would we fear? Why would we fear what man can do to us when we have God on our side standing there with us? It goes on to say he will never leave us. The word never here means he will not. It is saying that there is nothing or at no time that he will not be there. He will always be with us, and therefore he will not abandon us. He will not let us alone. He will not drop us or sink us. He's right there. The word forsake here means to leave or depart from, or to desert. And therefore, again, shoulder to shoulder, standing with us. So let's take a look at how these words might be used in a different translation. The New Living Translation says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them, face to face. Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I really like that translation. I think it really draws out the words that we just defined as I went through this with you. And so it's a great way to look at other translations from time to time. When we're rightly dividing, the translators that did the original King James, they had their own culture that they were dealing with, and they were trying to impose that culture back on the Hebrew culture or the Greek culture, and therefore it's not always translated into the English of today in our culture, and so it's good to take a look at some of these. Now, on the other hand, as Chico's talked about, a lot of the newer translations leave things out, especially the deity of Christ. And why is that? Well, that's just Satan's subtle way of getting in to get us to take Christ out of the Trinity, the three three manifestations of God, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to skip down and past all the other different translations. Some of them are equally as good. Some of them are a little weaker. But let's take a look then. We read Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 31:22, we have Moses again saying, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now, why would Moses tell Joshua this? Well, Moses was transferring power from himself, knowing he couldn't go into the land, to Joshua. And he did this in front of all of Israel. But in addition to that, the last time Israel was going to go into the land, Joshua and Caleb were the only two individuals sent by Moses into the land to see what it was like. And they came back with incredible fruit and be able to show how bountiful this land of milk and honey was. But they also came back, 10 of them, who said, we can't go in there and possess this. These people are huge. So they instilled fear into all of the people. Only Caleb and Joshua were strong and said, no, we can take these because God's with us. And so Moses now is imploring Joshua to be strong and of good courage because they're going to go back into this land knowing that the Anakim, the Rephaim, are going to be there. These giants are going to be there, and they're going to have to take them on at some point in time. They're going to have to face them, but not to be in awe or terrified. They're to take courage. And so in Joshua, we see that it says, be strong and of good courage, and unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So you got God telling Moses, Moses tells Joshua, then God comes to Joshua and repeats himself. Why does he repeat himself? Because he knows man is frail. He knows our frailties. He created us, and he knows that we can be fearful. And yet he repeats himself time and time again, I'm with you. Be not afraid. And so later in Joshua, as Joshua is then addressing all of Israel, says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou send us we will go. Now that's totally different than what happened the last time they were going to go into the land. So it's according, verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. So they acknowledge that God is walking with Joshua just as he walked with Moses. Whithersoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So now the people are telling Joshua, hey, buddy, we're here with you. We're on your side, but we know that God is on your side, and that's more important than anything. Be strong and of good courage. In 1 Chronicles 22:9-13, it's talking to David. It says, behold, a son shall be born to thee who shall be a man of rest. Who is that? Solomon. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, David then turns to his son, Solomon, says, now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. And then he goes on to say, then shalt thou prosper, if thou take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments, which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, or fear not, nor be dismayed. So we see that multiple times this phrase, be strong and of good courage, is used, the Lord to the people, knowing that they would be fearful, they would be anxious. In 1 Chronicles 28:20, David says to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles 15:7, he says, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for the work shall be rewarded. This is basically saying that don't be afraid until the work is done. God is going to do a work in you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. And the work will be completed. And it goes on, verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So you know, we see that when spoken to and told, the Lord will be with you, that these individuals, in spite of the adversity that was faced, in spite of what had happened in the past, which he had to let go of, he was to take courage, and he would know that this work will actually be completed. In 2 Chronicles 20:15-17, it says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Interesting. God is there with you, right? He is on your side. And the battle's not ours. Just like we have a battle with principalities and powers in evil places today, we're not to be dismayed because God is there with us. The battle's not ours. The victory is already Christ's. Verse 16, tomorrow you go against them. Behold, they came up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord be with you. Well, what actually happened there? The enemy, I want to say was 800,000, maybe it was only 500,000, was completely wiped out because they turned on each other and killed each other off. Because the Lord put a spirit within them that caused them to destroy themselves. Israel had to do nothing, absolutely nothing. Okay, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Now, it says that God will be with us, that God will stand shoulder to shoulder with us when we face adversity, when we face the enemy. But here he is saying that there is a multitude that is greater than the enemy that we're faced with. It says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. This is when Sennacherib came to take on Jerusalem and siege it. It says that there were more than the sands of the sea before them. And an angel of the Lord came down and destroyed them before they would ever shoot an arrow or enter into the city. But it's interesting because the herald of Sennacherib yelled out that they shouldn't believe Hezekiah. They should fear because all the other gods of all the other nations had been wiped out. Where were their gods? Why would you think that your God is any different for them? Well, after Hezekiah said, be strong and courageous, don't be dismayed, well, they took courage. They rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. The words of Hezekiah came directly from the Lord. That encouragement said, you know what? Take a deep breath. The Lord's got this. And that's true with any adversity that we're faced with, because he knows what we're going through. And it's a test of our faith to stand firm. In Isaiah 35:3, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Have you ever been afraid of something where your knees barely shake? I know a lot of people have a fear of speaking in public, and some people have fear of heights, etc. The feeble knees, the wringing of hands because we're afraid of what's in front of us. But it says, say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. We know that that is the salvation that Christ brought with him. It goes on. In It does not go on. I apologize. Okay, Psalms 31:24 says, be strong and of good courage, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Well, what's your hope? Is your hope such that you have the courage as you face different circumstances? Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's an illness of a friend or family member. Maybe it's an enemy that maybe it's a mugger. Maybe we don't know what we could be faced with. We have Iran who says we have nuclear weapons. Are we afraid? God knows, and He is with us. He will give us the courage we need. We know that God, in fact, did miracles in the Old Testament, and we may not necessarily be seeing those after the Gospels, after Christ. We know that Paul did miracles, did signs, but there was a time when those signs and miracles stopped because it was to show the authority of who they were, and we aren't looking for signs, so we shouldn't be looking for these great miracles, and yet I believe miracles happen every day. There are people who are healed when no one gave them any hope whatsoever. So in the New Testament, let's take a look at that. In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The word here for afraid is to be timid, to be anxious, if you will. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word power here is the word in dunamo, which is where we get dunamis from. And dunamis is that resurrection power, that dynamite power. That's what we are to be strong with, this resurrection power, knowing that God is there and with us. In Ephesians, we'll stay here for a second. It says, put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He's telling us to take this courage, and knowing that we have this power of God behind us. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewithin ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is what we can rely on. We can be in awe of it because it's awesome, not terrifying. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul was saying that he needed the courage to be bold. He needed the courage to stand. And he was telling those in Ephesus that they needed to put the same armor on, this word of God, to be able to quench the fiery darts. These fiery darts are like microwaves of terror that come down and get into our brain and make us anxious because of not having the word in our mind. And so the best example I can think of is Saul. When Saul started to fear David as someone who was going to take his place, the enemy sent demonic, wicked, awful thoughts into Saul's brain. David could calm him with psalms. These psalms were the word of God. And that's what calmed Saul. But as soon as he allowed himself to think about David again, instead of thinking on the word, he became fearful and he became anxious. So how do we do all this? How do we put all this armor on? How do we make all this happen? Well, what did Paul tell Timothy? In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Not the mind of Saul, but a sound mind. Our sound mind is based on dwelling on the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We are to endure. We are to not be fearful. We are to forbear. We are to be strong. And we are strong in the grace, in knowing that it is God's grace. He chose us before the foundation. Do you think that he is not going to use us for his purpose and for his timing and for his will? Not our will, not our pleasure, but for his. In Philippians 4:5, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto men, to all men. The Lord is at hand." It goes on to then say in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be anxious. Don't fret. Psalms 37, don't fret. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." When we think on those things, we will have this peace. We won't have anxiousness. "Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." What are those things that Paul had shown Timothy? Well, through all of his persecutions, he stayed firm. He stood on the belief that God was, in fact, in the flesh, in Christ Jesus, died and was resurrected, and he met him on the road to Damascus. Even though he had pursued those who followed him, he turned completely around, 180, to follow the Lord, knowing that he was going to face this tribulation. He goes on in verse 10, Philippians 4:10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." There is peace in contentment. Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let me repeat that. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He is standing shoulder to shoulder with us. He is going with us. In many cases, he has even gone before us. There are things that are happening in this world to others that are saints. Tribulations, tests, trials. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, we are not to be fearful. We are not to be anxious. And so, my conclusion. We know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This can be respect or reverence, or it could be terrified of his power and wrath if we're not walking in his way. If we walk in our way, we're going to fall off the path. Think of it as a cliff. Don't go to the right or the left, but follow the path, and you'll be fine. If you've ever gone to the Grand Canyon, it's a very narrow path. And if a burro bringing supplies is on the path, you have to allow him to pass, and you have to stand on the outside of this cliff pass with a 5,000-foot drop. And so it's very precarious. Don't go to the right or the left. Stay on the path, and that is where there is safety. He sent floods. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He killed all the firstborn of Egypt. He then destroyed the Pharaoh and his entire army. He killed 186,000 Assyrians in one night. His power should be revered, but we should not fear enemies or our life's adversity. We should not be afraid or dismayed. We should take courage knowing that we have the dunamis power of God, and he will never leave or forsake us. He will stand next to us. We have examples of the disciples and how they abused those Jewish believers. We know that John the Baptist, for proclaiming that this is the Lamb of God, was beheaded. Peter was imprisoned and later executed. Paul was imprisoned and killed after years of scourging and stonings. But he was told that that would happen in advance. And yet he maintained the path that God put him on for the ability to be bold and speak the truth to those who needed to understand the power of God. We too are forewarned that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. We are forewarned that we have to endure to the end. We have to embrace the calamities that are put in our path, knowing that the Lord is right there with us. And if he's with us, what shall we fear in man? If regardless of our situation, as Paul said, I know how to abound and to be abased. He knew poverty. He knew hunger. He knew famine. He knew persecution. And yet he endured to the end. And so if we're supposed to suffer for him, to reign with him, why do we not count it all joy when we face tribulation? It is an honor for us to be tested and to demonstrate our faith. And even though death may come upon some of us, and we think to ourselves, why did this happen to this person? They were a good person. Well, there is some purpose in that that God knows and he planned, and it's going to help someone else. Maybe that their faith is going to be made stronger having seen our faith as we go through persecutions or difficulties or health issues. And so, this is not the word of God. This is the word of John Wayne. He said, buck up, pilgrims, buck up. And that's what we've got to do. To be faithful saints, we've got to be strong. We've got to take courage. We have to be not dismayed, for the Lord, it is who walks with us. He will not forsake us or ever, ever, ever leave us. Thank you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for the challenges that you put before us because we know that it'll make us stronger. And we ask, Lord, for wisdom as we go through this to be reminded of your word, that as we are attacked, that we dwell on your word, for it is there that we find peace. When we remember the miracles that you've done in our lives, that is where we have strength, because we know that you have worked in our lives in the past, and you will continue that work as we move forward in the future. Give us that strength, Lord, that dunamis power. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.